I'm going to be miserable, and I'm going to feel like the world's closing in on me. And that's all the world has, right? They're looking and they're seeing everything crumble around them. They're seeing governments and powers all coming together as one in one world, one government, and they're all in agreement somehow. But they're completely separate countries, and they're seeing this world. You listen to people talk on whatever, and they're lost, but they don't necessarily go along with the government. They have no hope. They have no hope. All they have hope in is that somehow the system that this giant thing that's rolling with all this momentum, this government system, somehow gets disrupted by something. But unfortunately, according to the Word of God, eventually, right, there's going to be this one power that's going to take over and deceive many, and they're going to go the way of the world. They're just going to follow after the beast, and they're going to take the mark, because that's going to be the only way to survive. And that's a really miserable life. And you start looking at, you start thinking about this thing called like Neuralink, or virtual reality and metaverse. Eventually, people are just going to be sleeping in a pod or something, laying in their bed, and just put on this headset, and they're going to get out of the real world and live in their virtual world, because they're miserable in the real world, because there's no hope in the real world. So they have to create something new that gives them some purpose. Temporary purpose, temporary distraction from what they're actually living in. And so maybe it appeals to a lot of people because they don't have a hope. But that's why we come in, right? This world, especially during COVID, people were desperate for anything. They were getting lied to on the television, getting lied to at their jobs, and I was about to get fired from my job. And so when people have, all they have is to live for is their small little world, and they don't see the eternal, the eternal picture. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They're desperate for something, and that's where we should be preaching the gospel faithfully, right? In season and out of season. Pastor mentioned last week, we should be preaching no matter what. Maybe there's a lot of people that come. Maybe there nobody comes. Maybe nobody receives the word. Maybe a lot of people do. But if we're faithful, then we'll be ready whenever the time comes to reap the harvest. Whenever people actually start coming and wanting to receive truth, right? That's why we should be instant in season and out of season, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know specifically day to day what's going to happen, what circumstances will happen in this world. I wasn't that old when 9/11 happened, but I heard, it really shook up people, and there's people in churches, like flooding the churches. And so I don't really remember that, but that's a time where if you were instant in season, out of season, you're preaching the Word of God, you could have won a lot of people to Christ, not to just a church, not to a building, not to some religion, but actually been preaching the gospel and warning people about, hey, life is short. You may not have been in that building, but one day you're going to die. And that's where we need to be ready. We're ready to preach the gospel. So from this passage also in Romans 15, I also see that my walk with God, my walking in the Spirit has a direct impact on my faith and my life on this earth. So I just met a girl yesterday. We were holding signs. She used to be saved. She used to go on mission trips or whatever, but she didn't like that we were holding signs. She didn't like, we had one sign that said, don't go to hell. And all the other signs said, Jesus saved, trust Jesus, God, Christ died for your sins. But the one sign she didn't like, and so she had to come out and say something. She had to stop by that stuff. So I was like, well, we have all these other signs. We don't just have this one sign. We have everything about Jesus Christ. But she had turned away. She turned away from God. Come to find out, she used to be in church and doing these things, and she got swayed because of man. She got turned away because she saw something. Maybe somebody didn't do exactly what God wanted them to do. Maybe a pastor was unfaithful. She wasn't clear on what exactly got her out of it, but it was like she was attributing to God what man did, and blaming God for it. And so she turned her back on God. And then she eventually, at the end of it, came around, at least was being more receptive to the truth. And so you see that she was not walking in spirit. If she was saved, she's not walking in spirit. And if she really was saved, she'd have that conviction of the Holy Spirit, right, to come back. And so I don't know. I told her, I was like, if I were you, I would be seeking the Lord as hard as possible, not assuming that you trusted Christ as Savior, but believe on Him now and trust in Him. So she, at least at the end, praise the Lord, got receptive to her. Her name's Tiffany. Pray for her. But hopefully she trusts in Jesus Christ as her Savior before it's too late. But you can forget that you were purged from your old sins even, right? You can turn so far away from God that you forget that you were purged from your old sins. That's a scary place to be. So we don't want to be there. I don't ever want to get close to that place. So let's walk in the Spirit. and keep building up on our faith and abound in hope. 2 Corinthians, this is some cool passages on joy that I really, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. So pray for others to have joy. You may have joy, you should pray for others. I want to have joy, pray for me. You know, we should pray for one another that we all are filled with joy and peace. The world wants peace and happiness, but they don't want to go to the God who gives joy and peace. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse number 13. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort. That's interesting, right? You being comforted comforts me. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. Joy of someone else brought joy to Paul and those around him. Just hearing about the joy of someone else. They weren't even probably there. It was the joy of Titus because the spirit was refreshed by you all. So something about the joy of Titus was so great that it affected, it refreshed the spirit of everyone that was there that he's writing to in Corinth. And the joy was so great that it brought, the fruits of that joy brought joy to Paul. That's the impact that your walk in the Spirit has on other people, on other believers in Christ. And so if I'm walking in the flesh, I'm now hindering the body of Christ, and I'm limiting what God can do with myself and with the people around me in the church. And even people that might not even know me that hear about the church. But if I have this joy in Christ, I'm walking in the Spirit, and I'm producing the fruit of joy, it will bring joy to others, and apparently it refreshes the spirit of others. I mean, have you ever been around someone that's so joyful that it brings joy to your heart? Something happened maybe in their lives, or maybe a circumstance or whatever, but they have joy, and it's just so contagious that you start to get joyful because of it. I don't know, sometimes Micah's preaching and something, and he says something, and he's just like, it just gets me excited and brings joy to my, you know, it's a blessing. You know, so we should be joyful, we should have that joy, and we should want to bring joy to others, and hopefully we're eating up the joy that others have as well. And even hearing about the joy about others, bringing joy to ourselves. So I think you see, let's turn to chapter 2 now, chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. So you see that, you can see directly in that passage, the Paul and those around him consuming that joy. Even the people in the church that are being refreshed, they're consuming that fruit of joy. They're being nourished by it. They're being refreshed by it. So the joy, the fruit of the Spirit, is not necessarily for you, it's for others, right? It may be for you, but also for others to enjoy. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's start in verse 1. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. Now this is read this carefully. I would not come, Paul's saying to this is in the second letter to the church at Corinth. I would not come again to you in heaviness. For, verse number 2, if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad? But the same which is made sorry by me. It's kind of worded weird, but you read it carefully, it sounds like he's saying, right, I could have written more sorrow to you, right, becoming more heaviness and made you sorry, but then how are you going to make me glad if you're sorrowful? Right, in the book of verse 3, and I wrote the same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. So he's like, I could have written in heaviness again like I did before, but I'm going to write to you in joy. I'm going to rejoice with you. And instead of making you sorrowful, I'm going to make you glad so that you can bring gladness to my heart because I need it. So apparently, it sounds like he was facing something, right? Some sorrow. He was going through something that made his heart heavy. He was struggling. But he still decided to bring joy to others so they could bring joy to him in the midst of his sorrow. Right? Because he knew that, he wrote here, that the joy that he brings to them will bring them joy, and then they will be able to make him glad with the joy that they produce. So you see this, it's like a, I'll come to this analogy in a second. But whom I ought to rejoice, having all confidence in you that my joy is the joy of you all. He wanted them to be joyful because he wanted to experience their joy and enjoy the fruit of their joy, right? I thought about this. It kind of reminds me of like a feedback loop in a speaker or something like that. Sometimes you'll hear like this, the e-speakers do it. Maybe if you hold two phones together on speakerphone, they start feeding off of each other and getting louder and louder and louder, right? So the sound that it's producing is the sound that I just heard, so it just keeps getting louder and louder, and it's like squeals and it makes us... That kind of reminded me of this. This kind of reminded me of that, I mean. So apparently, we can produce a feedback loop of joy where I have joy, even though maybe I also have sorrow, but I want to bring joy to you, and then your joy brings joy to me, and then my joy brings joy to you, and then your joy brings... And then there's just joy, right? This fruit just keeps growing. It just keeps producing more and more. And that seems like probably what happened with Titus. There was just so much joy going around that they were all refreshed, and Paul even heard about it. And then the joy didn't just stick to that one local church. It spread to other local churches because they just heard about the joy that this church had. That's pretty cool. I don't know about you. That's pretty cool. So how I come to church, we could probably all come here in heaviness and sorrow. We could probably all come here and be miserable, or at least talk about the horrible things that happened. Maybe it's not a bad thing. Maybe it's not sinful, right, to do this. But I can come in and bring up all the horrible things that's going on in my life or life of my family or something that's going on. And that may not be a bad thing necessarily if you want someone to pray for you. But also, think about the impact that what I'm going to be saying to someone else is going to have on them, and then how that's going to affect me back. So I'm going to bring sorrow to you, and then you're just going to make you sorrowful, and then you're just going to produce more sorrow for me to eat up the sorrow. But yeah, it's fine. Like we can wallow in our misery like Job and his buddies, but we want to have joy, and I want to have joy, and I want to produce this feedback loop of joy where hopefully I'm exuding this joy for you to enjoy, and then you're producing joy, and I'm enjoying it, and then we're going out of this world, and this whole world is seeing the joy that we have, and they're wondering what the heck's going on. That's pretty exciting. I don't know about you. That's pretty cool. I never read that passage like that. So anyways, all I'm doing is looking up the word joy and applying it to ourselves because it's good. It's the fruit of the Spirit. This happens. This is only possible with the fruit of the Spirit. So the feedback loop in the microphones is not possible if you don't have power. If you don't give it electricity. If it doesn't have gain. If there's no way of producing gain, it's not going to be able to feedback. So our feedback is only possible because of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way it's possible. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not going to be able to do this. It's not going to be able to be possible. You're not going to produce the fruit of joy, and others won't produce the fruit of joy back. So we all need to be mindful. I need to be, first and foremost, individually, I need to be walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling lust of the flesh, putting under my body, right? All right. Now we'll go to a little bit harder passages on joy, a little rougher passages. Turn to 1 Peter. Who looks forward to this body falling apart? Or who's glad that it is, right? I mean, who wants to suffer? Who wants people to mock you and persecute you and throw you in jail for just talking about Jesus, right? Who wants that? I don't want that. I'm just saying, like, maybe it's in the flesh, but I don't want it. But let's read these passages on joy, and maybe we'll see why it's a... Anyways, be convicted. And this is only possible through the Holy Spirit we're about to read. It's only possible. 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse number 12. Maybe we can take a deeper dive into these passages, because they have a lot in them. I'm just going to say that as you read it. It's really interesting things that are said here. Verse number 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. I just think that's an interesting wording right there. It's just a strange thing. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. All right, so you in this life, hopefully, if you're a follower of Christ, right? Jesus said, you know, if they hated me, they'll hate you also, right? That we will be partakers of Christ's sufferings in some manner. It may not be exactly the same. We're not going to be nailed to a cross, maybe, but some form of sufferings, and apparently, we can be glad with exceeding joy. When His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad. So it does kind of say in the future, you may be glad with exceeding joy. And then verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. So someone just comes. So if someone, all I'm doing is being nice to somebody, and what I would say is nice. I'm telling them about Jesus, telling them how He loved them, how He died for them, how He wants them to be saved. And then they flip me off and they run away, or they curse me out and they run off. Or they, you know, blow smoke in our face, or they burn the gospel tract you just gave them, and you're just saying, "Hey, some good news." It's a free piece of paper. Any other piece of paper you gave that person, they wouldn't have cared. They wouldn't have cared. It could have said anything else, but it just said, you know, Jesus loves you, or He died for you, where you spend eternity. I care about your soul, and then, but we get treated in a way that doesn't make any sense. It's some strange thing. Bible says, "Don't think it's strange," right? Because that's what we are here to do. We're going to face persecutions, maybe on different scales. We're going to face some backlash. But there's something coming in the future that, despite all you're dealing with, we should count it all. We should rejoice. We should be happy, because that's what Jesus Christ had to do for you, and you're getting just a little taste of what He had to go through. I mean, you read about what He went through on the cross, right? Just in one of the Gospels, you read all the Gospel accounts, and it's just. And just we don't even know. We don't even have the slightest idea of really the suffering that he endured, because, you know, what He went through on the cross, not only by man, but also bearing the wrath of God. And us just getting a slight glimpse of that suffering, apparently, you know, we should be happy in it with exceeding joy. And I think that this I've actually experienced this. If you ever gone out and witnessed our Lord. And it brings joy to your heart. Like, our flesh does not want to go out there. Our flesh does not want to go out and knock on doors. The flesh does not want to go out and hold signs. I don't want to stand in front of people. I don't want to be talking in front of you. I almost failed speech class. I don't do good in speech. I try to avoid even having to have conversations with people. That's just my flesh. But the Bible says, "Happy are ye," and that's what happens. If I walk in the Spirit and I do what God wants me to do according to His Word, it brings joy. It brings you joy, and it brings you happiness. It brings you gladness of heart when you're out there, you're serving the Lord or something. And when someone gets mad at you, yeah, your flesh wants to either recoil or react. That's your flesh. But the Spirit, it brings you joy. And God's constantly producing that fruit of the Spirit there for you to enjoy. And because we know what happens in the end. And we'll see about, you know, about Jesus Christ and others in other passages where, you know, because of what's coming in the future, I can have joy today. I'm not joyful necessarily that I got spit on, but I'm joyful that I partook in the sufferings of Christ, right? Happy are you. It reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 5:16, when Jonathan's preaching on it. Rejoice evermore, right? Pray without ceasing. Everything give thanks. How are you supposed to do those things? You can't. It's impossible. You can't. But with the Holy Spirit, it is possible. If you have the Holy Ghost, if you have the Holy Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, that's the only way that any of those things are possible. You can't rejoice evermore unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So it brings you joy and happiness when you serve the Lord, and but the flesh hates it. Look at Acts chapter 5. We'll come back to the Peter passage later, but Acts chapter 5. We're doing good on time. Not sure how far we'll get through these. These are a little more rough on the joy. That was joy in suffering. This is Acts chapter 5. I think we're still kind of under that same heading here. Joy in suffering. Acts chapter 5. And let's see, verse number 40. Verse number 40. And to him they agreed. And went. So the apostles had just preached. They got thrown in jail, sorry, in the beginning of chapter 5. And then they got out of jail. The angel of the Lord let them out of jail. And they went right back to preaching the Word of God. And then they got, they're like, what are y'all doing out here? We told you not to preach. I'm like, okay, well, we're going to preach, right? They're doing what God says. And so they capture them again, and they were wanting to kill them because of what they said. But then this one guy, one of their same ranks, he came up and said, no, you know, don't persecute them. It's just going to make it worse. Don't kill them. And so verse number 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, so they still did something to them, but they didn't slay them, they didn't kill them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They did that before, it didn't work, so I don't know what they're thinking is going to happen this time. I really don't do it this time. Verse number 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, look at this, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. So we just heard a passage where it says to, hey, when you suffer for the name of Christ, happy are ye. You should rejoice with exceeding great joy. You should be excited and joyful. And we see an example of this literally happening to believers and their reaction to it. They were getting thrown in jail. They got out of jail. They preached. So obviously in this passage, you know they're walking in the Spirit. So that's how it's not possible without the Holy Spirit. You can read this passage, but they're walking in the Holy Spirit. They got thrown in jail, got out of jail. Go and preach again, get captured again, and then they get beaten, and then maybe their life is threatened. Like, we're going to kill you, right? I'm sure, like, if you read back in the passages where they said that they were wanting to slay them, they sought to slay them. And then they got thrown back out, you know, they got let free again, and then they're still rejoicing. It's only possible if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is a great example, I think, if we look to the early church, we should be doing the same thing. Regardless of what comes our way, serving the Lord, doing what the Lord wants, and rejoicing whenever we face opposition, because that's exactly what Jesus Christ had to do. He had to suffer. He had to face opposition. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Joy in suffering. This is joy in temptations or trials. And this context defines temptations as. James chapter 1. This is really interesting. Think about it. We're at the very beginning of this passage here, very beginning of this letter. James is verse number 1. A servant of God and of Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. This is his greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's how he chose to greet the believers. That's an interesting way to greet somebody. Hey man, how's it going? You're about to get tested. Your faith's about to get tested. Count it all joy. Like, that's how he opened it. It's just, I just thought about it. I'm like, wait, I'm reading this. I was reading just that one passage, to verse number 2, and I'm like, well, let me read the context here. Wait, I'm in the very first chapter. Oh, wait, I'm at the very beginning of this book, and he's saying, Your faith's going to be tried. Your faith's going to be tested. Someone's going to come against you and test your faith. And you should count it all joy. Count it all joy. Yeah. Knowing this, that the trial. So look, so he tells him, he doesn't just leave you with counting all joy. Knowing this. So we have certain knowledge in God's word that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Right? And there's other passages about patience. But we have this joy. We can count it all joy, right? Through walking through the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit bringing to our remembrance that, hey, you're going to be better after you get on the other side of this thing. You may have to go through some things, but you'll be better in the end. Now, my flesh reacts to trials with disdain. Like, my flesh doesn't want to go through trials. I don't desire, as we talked about in the beginning, I don't want to be tested. I don't want people to question me or God to let me go through some testing of my faith to see if I really believe what I believe or how much I believe it. But according to God, I go through that. I should count it all joy because through that, I'll be better off in the end. If I hold up, if I don't give in to the temptation or the trial, if I don't falter. But if I'm walking, it's only possible, again, through walking in the Spirit, as we mentioned in the very beginning. This is all in the context of walking in the Spirit. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I can go through diverse temptations, all kinds of trials of my faith, and yet I can still count it all joy and make it through it and be better off for it. I heard a guy was talking about he's glad he wouldn't change what he went through in his life because, you know, the struggles that he endured made him who he was today. And I get that. And I think that holds truth, even, you know, especially even the believer's life. We don't want to go through these hard times. But when we go through them, we're better off. We're stronger. We're even have an even stronger faith in Christ. It only strengthens our faith. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. So if you read, and if you want to note, so the word temptation in this context, in the next verse, is defined as the trying of your faith, right? So it's a trial. It's not a temptation to necessarily to sin. It's a testing of your faith. Hebrews chapter 10. May need to go after this. Yeah, there's still several more we have to get through, but we'll just stop here. Didn't get to the good part at the end, but we'll get to that maybe next time, or the next time I have an opportunity to. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll end with this. This is a good one to end on. Hebrews chapter 10, and verse number 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing that in yourselves ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Joy in the spoiling of goods. When we have something on earth that falls apart or spoils or break, oh man, we left the food out. Oh man, I was supposed to put it in the fridge. Dang, you know, went bad. You know, I got to throw it away. I'm upset. You know, right? I'm upset the rest of the night. I can't. You know, or my AC broke, or Samuel broke something, I don't know.